called This Is Us, exploring who we are as a church, why we do what we do, and who we want to be known as. We want to be known as a church that loves people, that leads them closer to Jesus, connects with them, connects them to God. We grow together in our understanding of the Lord. We serve God and each other together, and we go into the world and we share the gospel and the good news of Jesus. So this morning we're going to be talking about serving together. Serving together. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you want to jump to that. If you've got the church app, there's a Bible on there that you can look at, 1 Samuel. Or if you have your physical Bible, you can jump there to chapter 16. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I apologize, it's not up on the screen this morning, but it's the Word of God. It doesn't change on the screen or in my Bible. So there we go. This is what it says. It says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. And some of Saul's servants said to him, 'A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. So let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again.' 'All right,' Saul said. 'Find me someone who plays well and bring him here.' One of the servants said to Saul, 'Well, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him.' So Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, 'Send me your son David, the shepherd.' Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat, a donkey loaded with bread, and a wineskin full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. And then Saul sent word to Jesse asking him, 'Please let David remain in my service, for I am very pleased with him.' And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp, and Saul would feel better, and the tormenting spirit would go away." See, from a very early age, I loved to talk. Loved to talk. I was the kid that would ask why 50 times. Right? Because I just wanted to know the answer. And then sometimes I would just ask question after question after question out of question, partly out of curiosity, but partly because I just wanted to talk. My mom always said growing up that I could argue with a stop sign, right? And let me tell you, knowing how to drive, I've argued with a few stop signs, okay? I don't think they should be there sometimes. She's like, "You're either going to grow up to be a lawyer or to be a preacher. Because you talk all the time." Well, thankfully, the Lord redeemed me and called me to be a preacher. I love to talk. See, I may not have known it when I was 3, 4, 5, 10 years old, but eventually, God would use my passion for communication and public speaking to serve him and his church. I grew up just being the annoying kid that always had something to say. I always thought what I had to say was right and everybody else was wrong, so I just needed to talk. I would be sitting at my grandparents' house. My grandpa would be trying to watch Gunsmoke and Bonanza, and I would just be talking up a storm. And he's like, "Do you ever quit jabbering your mouth?" But the Lord used my passion for communication to serve him and his church. In this series titled This Is Us, the purpose of the series is to remind us who it is that God is calling us to be. Who is it that God is calling you to be? And us as a church. Our purpose as a church is summed up in our mission statement. See, our church exists to lead people closer to Jesus by connecting, growing, serving, and going. And this can't be done individually. It must be accomplished together with one another. So as we're talking about this idea of leading people closer together by serving together, how do we do that? How do we serve the Lord one together? We know that we're called to serve God and to serve one another, but how do we find that place at church that God is calling us to serve and using who we are to do what he wants us to do? How do we do this? How do we serve together? The first thought is this. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. That we serve with our passion. Serve with your passion. I always had a passion for talking, for communicating, for explaining things and teaching people and letting them know the knowledge that I knew. And God uses that passion for his glory, to build his kingdom and his church. You serve with your passion. What is your passion this morning? You see, King David, his passion, before he became a king, before he went to Saul's court, his passion was music. It was to play the harp. Notice this, that David's passion was not his career. It wasn't. His career was to be a shepherd. Saul says, hey, go and ask Jesse for his son David, the shepherd, not the musician. But what was it that Saul was calling David to do in his court, in the palace? To use his passion. His passion was music. His passion was worship to the Lord. That in his career, when he was out in the fields with the sheep and he was watching them and tending to them, he would be learning how to play the harp, writing psalms and music to the Lord. He wasn't being called to the court to serve with his knowledge or his career. He was called to serve with his passion. His passion is what gave him joy. It's what brought him life and energy. See, after a long, hard day tending to the sheep, I can imagine David sitting down by the tree, pulling out his harp and playing, releasing the frustration and the difficulties and the challenges of the day that his career brought him, and just living in his passion and his joy. It's this passion is what God wanted David to use to serve the king. So if you want to know how you can serve your king this morning, serve him with your passions, not your obligations. Serve with your passions, not your obligations. Your obligation may be to a factory, but your passion is to create beautiful artwork out of the simplest of material. Your obligation may be physical labor in your career and your job, but your passion is to invest in the next generation. Your obligation may be to stay at home with the kids, but your passion is to teach to others things that they may not have known before. What is your passion? Serve the Lord with your passion, not your obligation. And once you find areas in the church that you can use your passions, it's important that your passions do not also become an obligation. You see, it would have been easy for David after a period of time in Saul's court to get frustrated that he had to play all the time. Many of us, we have passions that we can look back on in our lives. And we can remember the joy and the life and the excitement and the energy that they brought. But eventually, through circumstances, through obligation, it just sucked the life out of that thing. Don't let your passions become an obligation. It can be easy to get into the mindset that you have to serve, when in reality, we get to serve our Savior. We get to serve the bride of Christ, which is the church. We get to serve in the kingdom of God. So how do we stay in this get-to mindset instead of this have-to mindset when we serve with our passions? How do we keep our passions from becoming an obligation? This is how you do it. You do it for God, not for others. You do it for God and not for others. So we have all been grown and we have been conditioned from a very early age to serve other people, right? And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. We need to serve one another and love one another and care for one another. But that's not enough to sustain who it is that God has called you to be and how he wants to use you. As followers of Christ, our first priority is to serve for the glory of God, not for other people. You see, Saul was being spiritually tormented. He had no idea how to overcome his depression and his fear in the natural. He had done things, and he had other servants that would try to tend to his physical needs. But Saul needed someone to minister to his spirit, not his physicality. And the best way for David to minister to Saul's spirit was by him first ministering to God. You see, when David played the harp, he did it for the Lord. Say, well, where was that in 1 Samuel 16? Well, he doesn't explain it there, but in Psalm 33, which, by the way, I wasn't planning on reading this morning, but in Psalm 33, what is it that David started out saying? He says, we sing to the joy for the Lord. We play the harp and the lyre and music for the Lord. He played worship to God. He ministered to the Lord before he ministered to Saul. And out of his service to the Lord, out of his worship to God, Saul received the benefit. If you want to serve other people around you better, serve God first. If you want to serve your spouse fully and wholeheartedly and unconditionally, serve the Lord fully and wholeheartedly and unconditionally first. If you want to serve your children and raise them up to be good and great people and followers of Christ, show them what it's like to worship God, to make God the priority in your life and not them. You serve for God first. See, the Psalms are full of David playing his harp and worshiping God. If you flip through the book of Psalms, all 150 chapters, I promise you, there is not a single psalm written by David that is worship to Saul. It is all worship to God. But I can't help but imagine David playing some of these songs for Saul. We don't know for certain, but I'm sure many of them that David would play for Saul were worship songs, because it was his spirit that needed ministered to. Imagine Saul sitting in the palace, struggling with depression, gripped by fear that his kingship would be taken away from him. And David begins to play Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens, and you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies who oppose you. Imagine David playing and singing those words and that ministering directly to Saul's spirit and what he needed in that moment. David was serving God, and because he served God, he served Saul. Or imagine during Saul's fits of rage when he would throw a spear at David after he was playing the harp and trying to kill David, as we see in two chapters later. And David, after all of this happens, he begins to sing a verse in Psalm 16. That I know the Lord is with me, and I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice, for my body rests in safety. You see, when you serve God first, your service to other people cannot become an obligation. It stays as a passionate thing that God has given you and burdened you to share with other people, because you first do it for the Lord. See, when you serve out of a love for God, you will always find joy in where you are at. Let me say that again. When you serve out of a love for God, you will always find joy in where you are at. When you serve for others, those people will let you down. There will be times when they become difficult, and other people in the church who love God but may be going through hard times begin to attack you. Saul loved the Lord. He did not live a perfect life for the Lord. There were moments where he was arrogant and he was prideful, and he let his vanity get in his way of his relationship with God, and that caused him a lot of issues. But even though Saul loved the Lord, it was out of his brokenness It was out of his obligation as a king, not his passion to lead God's people, that he began to physically attack David, throwing spears, trying to kill him, going from town to town, city to city, place to place, trying to find David to kill him. But man, David continued to serve the Lord. He didn't let those difficult times and those moments with Saul get him down. He said, God, you have given me a passion, and I'm going to continue to worship you and to praise you and to serve you the way that you have called me to do it. See, if you're only serving for people and not God, you will become bitter, you will become hurt, and you will get burned out. But if you serve them because you are first serving God, you will find joy and strength and excitement because you know that serving God is worth the cost. And we all go through moments and seasons in our life where we lose focus on who we are truly serving. And we begin to serve other people, again, out of good and out of obligation, but not out of our passion for the Lord. The most beautiful thing about serving God and not other people is this, that when you serve God, your acts of service will turn into acts of worship. Your acts of service become acts of worship. See, we live in a society that honors position. You think of who the greatest person in our nation is. You would say the President of the United States. They have the most power, the office of the President of the United States. Let me clarify. Boy, you can tell that we live in Wyoming, huh? Anyway, we live in a society that honors position. On the outside looking in, it would be natural for us to see Saul as the king, chosen by God to serve him and to lead the people of Israel. And we can think to ourselves, man, what an incredible man of God's King Saul is. And I'm sure most of the Israelites thought that. Man, Saul is just a great guy serving the Lord. And man, he just has such a great position and authority and power. Man, I wish I could serve like Saul. We all do this. We all look at somebody else and we say, man, I wish I could do what they're doing. Man, they just have it made. Man, their job is so much better than my job. Man, they can set their own hours. They can charge what they want. But all of you who are self-employed, you know, hey, you don't get vacations. Weekends are hit and miss depending on what goes on. But there's a lot of things that happen outside of what it looks like. We honor position. We think, man, what an incredible man of God Saul is serving the Lord. But what we see in Scripture is that Saul was arrogant and prideful. And he did many things out of worship for himself and not worship for God because he was too busy serving himself and trying to serve the people of Israel and not serving God. It isn't that the man sitting on the throne in the palace that we've been talking about is a terrible person. No. It's not the man sitting on the throne in the palace that we've been talking about in this sermon as being an incredible servant. It's the man who's been sitting to the side with no position of authority whatsoever, no status and no wealth, but a heart full of the Spirit of the Lord who's faithfully serving the Lord through his passions. And that passionate act that David did is true worship to God. You see, the man after God's own heart was not the man in this story who was sitting on the throne. It was the man sitting in the side, perhaps in the shadows, silently, passionately worshiping the Lord with his heart, trying to serve Saul. That's the man after God's own heart. And because his priority was right, his service was to the Lord out of his passions and not his obligations, eventually the Lord elevated him to the status of king, this lowly shepherd. See, these acts of service, were performed out of a love for God, and they are the model that each of us should strive for, not a position of power or influence. See, I had a conversation with another pastor this week. Great friend of mine, great mentor of mine, spiritual father. And he was talking about the incredible transformation that our church has had over the last 2.5 years. And he kept saying things like this, like, Brandon, man, what you are doing is nothing short of incredible. You are a great pastor and a leader, and many people can learn from what you've done there intensely. And then he would ask questions, man, how did you do it? How did you take a church of 17 people and grow it to a church of 90 with an average attendance of 50 on Wednesday? And talking about all of these great things that our church has become. You see, he was looking on the outside. He was looking at what he thought was the model of service. Of Kinsey and I coming and leading and serving in the church and leading all of you. But you see, position can be deceiving. See, the answer to that question came so naturally to me when he asked it. How did you do it? I didn't have to think at all. And with tears in my eyes, I told him, I said, the success of this church has nothing to do with me and everything to do with the faithful servants within our church who serve out of a place of love and worship for God. You who faithfully serve and love God, you are the people who are modeling life change for those in our community. It's easy to look at the position of authority and say, man, Pastor Brandon, he's a great pastor. He's a wonderful communicator. He's all of these things. Man, the church has really grown and flourished under his leadership. And while that may be true, that is not what has caused this church to grow. It is you modeling what serving the Lord faithfully out of your love and your passions can do. It is you showing the community, your family, and your friends that there is a life far greater than the life they are living serving themselves. And a life serving the Lord is the greatest life you could ever live. That is what's causing our church to grow. People that are longing to serve their Creator, their Savior, their King. Saying, man, I want to have that passionate relationship with God. Like these people in this church. I'm convinced that it is not Kinsey and I that have serving the church that has brought dozens and dozens of people into a closer relationship with Christ. It is the faithful servants of people like Alan and Sherry Fernicase, who Alan has spent over 30 years working in a factory and Sherry in real estate, serving God in their church because they love him so much. And they know that when they serve God out of their passions, not only is it spiritually fulfilling to them, but it is an act of worship expressed to their Savior. It is not Kinsey and I that have brought people into a relationship with Jesus. It is people like Sonia Smith, who despite of all the difficulty and the loss she has faced in her life, she serves the Lord with the strength that she has left, even when it's difficult. I'm convinced that the secret ingredient, Sonia, to your cookies is more than just love, but a love for the Lord, and that your cookies merely bridge the gap that people need to love the Lord. Our church is full of incredible people who passionately serve the Lord as an expression of their worship to him. Every person who serves on the nursery team, the incredible singers who lead us in worship on a weekly basis, the teenagers who run the computer and the live stream, each person who takes a turn cleaning the church, our small group leaders, the wonderful women who cook dinner every Wednesday night and there's always food left over, the men who serve by giving their building and construction expertise, their wisdom and knowledge, and even those of you who make every person feel special by talking with them and welcoming them when they come into our church for the first time. make them feel like they're a part of our church on a weekly basis. You are the people who are serving the Lord together. And when you serve God first, you can't help but share that love of Christ with other people. Serving the Lord together is one of the greatest things we will ever get to do. Serving in the kingdom of God. You see, when the place that you serve becomes the posture of your worship, you will never stop wanting to serve God. When the place that you serve becomes the posture of your worship, you will never stop wanting to serve God. Instead of saying, man, I have to get to church today because I'm on the worship team, or I have to go watch these kids in the nursery, and I have to go and lead this small group, I have to clean the church. Instead, if you jump up and you say, man, I am so excited, I get to serve the Lord today. I get to serve the Lord by ministering to these kids and raising them up knowing the basic truths of God in the nursery. I get to serve the Lord with my worship by praising Him and leading other people into His presence. I get to serve the Lord by teaching and sharing the truths of God and helping other people grow in their relationship with Christ. When the place you serve becomes the posture of your worship, you will always serve out of your passion. And not your obligation. And we serve the Lord together. You see, finding a place in church to serve is more than just serving each other. It's more than just, well, man, you know, the church just really needs help. No, it is you finding a place to worship God regularly out of your service. This morning, I want to ask you, how are you serving God? What are you passionate about? And how can you use that passion to serve God and His church? We're going to play a worship song here in just a moment. Ian, if you want to get that ready, I appreciate it. Thank you for serving by doing the computer, Ian. You're awesome. As we play this song in just a moment, I encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer. And ask the Lord what it is that you can do to serve the kingdom of God. What is it that you can do to serve in this church and worship the Lord and share that love with other people? Let's take a moment and focus on that.